Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, I'd like to welcome you to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in experience and truth, in spirit and truth, not in experience. I don't know what I'm saying. I've literally been discombobulated, no doubt, by the large tree that I can see from this pulpit that has now gone into our fellowship hall. We were all stunned this morning to find that nature had wrought its course. And had taken out our building. Needless to say, things are going to be different for a while as we figure this out. We've got insurance, so that part shouldn't be a problem. But as the preliminary looks have come in, it looks to be a significant amount of work ahead of us in time. And we'll just have to be patient and see what the Lord is going to do in and through this experience. You know, there's a lot we can be grateful for that's obvious. There's nobody here. I could say that it didn't, you know, it took out the fellowship hall, which is not as vital to our primary purpose as the sanctuary. So we're grateful that the sanctuary was spared. That's it. It didn't get the church. And it didn't get Rowan Hall, which I know a lot of y'all had prayed for. I know that there was a lot of prayers that had gone up about that. So maybe next time we'll pray just a little closer. Right? A little closer. All right. Yeah, put a bulldozer. That's right. The bulldozer accidentally knocked over Rowan Hall. I gotcha. Okay. All right. So we move forward. It's a surprise. So. Just everybody stay away from that area, you know, like don't go, because literally there's like some bricks holding up that giant tree, and so we hope it won't come down any further, but let's just stay out of that building as best we're able. We've got a wonderful worship service, and we'll continue now. We'll collect the 10 cents a meal offering this morning. Marked donations can be put in the offering plate or in the box on the communion table during our offertory time. We hope all of our youth are going to join us for pizza and ice cream game event right after worship today at 11. Our summer Sunday school goes through next Sunday, September 3rd. We'll finish off the Apostles' Creed, and then our rally day kickoff for our new school Sunday school year will be Sunday, September 10th. Well, with light breakfast in the fellowship hall, that plan is going to change. Right? So we'll figure a way. God is good, and God will get us through this. We've canceled the finance ministry meeting today due to the crash, but we will reschedule that, so keep an eye out for that. The kickoff brunch is probably not happening on Saturday, September 9th.
Yeah, Jason.
Yeah.
Yes, that's probably not going to happen, but if I can find another place.
Okay.
Or, anyway, you'll be notified, ladies. Otherwise, Parker, I don't know what to say.
Right.
We'll find a place, but it won't be in the fellowship hall, but it will be coming up, and that's an important kickoff brunch. And our homecoming is September 24th. We were going to have worship on the lawn, so hopefully those plans won't be terribly interrupted. We'll just have to see. That's right. That's right. The kitchen is what we lose. I guess we have the kitchen in the office building. Hey, congratulations to Dale and Connie Lucky, who are the proud grandparents of Sutton Gray, who is the new daughter of David and Taylor. Congratulations. The September through November 2023 Daily Bread devotionals are available in the Narthex. The Play School's open house is this Thursday, August 31st. They still have several openings for students ages 2 through 4, so if you know someone is interested, pass that along to them. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in loving memory of Russ and Alice Thompson by Kathy Thompson and by their family. Let me read that again. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in loving memory of Russ and Alice Thompson and Kathy Thompson by their family. So, those are the announcements that I have. Are there any others that need to be brought before the congregation at this time?
Jason, tell them where the youth are.
Oh, yeah, good point. So the youth are not meeting in the fellowship hall. We're going to meet in the church office. So that's where we're going to play games and eat pizza. Thank you, Clayton. Any others? All right, that being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of God.
Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the God, who greatly delight in his commands.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever.
They rise in the darkness
as the light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous.
Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternal God, revive us this morning by your power. Awaken us, body, mind, and soul, to be attentive to your loving voice. Be with us as we worship you, Father God. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. I invite you now to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 47. That dwells within this congregation by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the passing of the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey guys.
Yeah, but he needs you.
We come now into a time of confession. We lift up to God what it is we believe about ourselves with the expectation of encountering God's wonderful grace. We do so because we know that Jesus Christ laid down his life for this blessing of forgiveness. And so we respond by faith, through faith, and in faith, using the words this morning of today's prayer of confession. I invite you to join me with it now. We leave a few moments at the end for silent personal confession of sin so that we can be unburdened as we receive God's saving grace. Join me as we pray. Holy God, we confess our tendency toward a life driven by our preferences rather than by your instructions. It is easier to follow our own path of ease, comfort, and stability instead of running hard after you. We are quick to forget what you have taught us as we sink back into our personal desires. Help us, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to love the things you love. May your direction, not our preferences, guide us as we strive to live like Jesus. Give us endurance when we want to be complacent, and patience when we are frustrated with ourselves and others. We trust in your unfailing love as you help us grow in love and knowledge of you. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we've been eternally claimed by a gracious and loving God who has declared his pardon for us through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Having confessed our sins and having heard the great declaration of our pardon, we turn our attention to the sharing of our faith, which we do so this morning through the sharing of the Apostles' Creed. I invite you to join me in it, finding it in this morning's bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 555.
So as you see, we're in a pattern of the transition songs is the same every week. And if you're wondering why we've been doing this one, well, the beginning of the month was Vacation Bible School. So this was kind of in honor of the kids that we were able, that God gave us a chance to serve. So this is the last time we sung it. But the words are simple, but the words are still very powerful.
To invite all the children to come forward and join me for a special time that's just for them. Hey, you're already here. I know that helped. What? Oh, yeah. There we go. Well, guys, I guess some of you have gone back to school. Have you start? No, you're going to go back soon. But I know some of you have gone back to school, and that's a good thing. And so I got a story. We're talking about justification by grace through faith. And we've been talking about what that means, and those are some big words. And so I came across a story today that really just captures how good grace can be and how it works. So I want to tell you a story about a little girl who was taken in by some foster parents. And the foster parents kept everything safe and the girl was not harmed there. But they had an interesting thing that they did, and some might reject it as a good thing. Every year, even though they fostered kids, they would take their biological kids, which they had a couple, to Disney World, but they'd leave their foster kids with a friend for a couple of days. Now, we can say what we will about favoritism, or you know, maybe that's not the best thing to do, but that's the way this family did it. Now, think for a moment if you're just that little girl, and that little girl didn't have any understanding of why she wasn't getting to go to Disney World, except she thought of one thing. She thought that maybe she just wasn't being good enough. So the next year, she was even better than she had been the previous year. She tried to do everything they told her and did everything right. But still, the annual trip to Disney World came and went, and they didn't take her. And so you can imagine the sorrow this little girl was feeling as she tried yet again in a third year to be even better. Well, as things would sort out, thankfully, there was a Forever family that waited and was able to adopt this little girl. And one of the things that they determined that they were going to do was they were going to take a trip to Disney World. And what a fun time that can be. So they take this little kid to Disney World, but you know what happens, and I've seen it from some of y'all. When you get a little too excited about something, you know how sometimes your emotions can get a little out of whack and you can have a meltdown even when you don't expect it. My kids would know nothing about that, right? So this little girl, though, because she was so excited, had a meltdown. And she was brokenhearted because her belief was still that it was her actions that were getting her into Disney World or not. And she knew she had blown it. But the next day, imagine her surprise when her new adopted family escorted her into the gates of the Magic Kingdom or the happiest place on earth or whatever they call it. She was overwhelmed and overjoyed. And then she got it. She finally got it. She looked at them parents and said to me, "I get it. I'm at Disney World not because of what I've done, but because of whose family I'm in." Right? That captures what grace is for us as well. We don't do anything to deserve this awesome justification, which I've talked about, this forgiveness that we get from God. But we receive it entirely because God has adopted us into his family through faith that we're going to talk about today, by the actions of grace through his son, Jesus Christ. So we rejoice. So let us pray now as we think about grace and our faith. Dear God, thank you for your grace.
Dear God, thank you for your grace.
And thank you also for the faith that allows us to receive it.
Thank you also for the faith that allows us to receive it.
Bless us in our worship.
In Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, go back. Thank you. come now in a time of reading and proclaiming of God's words, and we do so, as always, beginning with a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come, giver of life, breathe into us that we might hear a word of God's truth today. Draw us into deep communion, enabling us to love, conspiring with us to make us one with you for the world you so deeply love. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
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 Today's Old Testament reading is from Genesis 12th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions, and all they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. In that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent from Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going to Negev. That's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We come back at Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14 again for, I think, the third time this week. Again, we're using it as the means by which we get at what does it mean to say that we're justified by grace through faith. As I've talked about in the preceding weeks, not all of Christian theology is found in the simple utterance, but a whole lot of it is. And I hope that's coming to bear and into light as we talk. So I read again from Galatians 3, 10 through 14, hear again the word of the Lord. "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of law, and do them.' Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith either. The one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged upon a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, y'all, I'm a little challenged because there's just a great way to start this morning, Charmin, but I confess, it runs through a little bit of a joke, and you've probably heard it before. But let me tell it, and hopefully it'll go over all right. The story begins as an ominous cloud appears over a man's house, and this isn't just over his house. This is a telltale sign of a large set of storms that's coming in. And in fact, the weathermen have been on the radio, and in fact, the concern has gotten so high that they are requesting that everybody abandon their houses and go to safety, higher ground. And of course, as the man stays, a couple of his friends notice that their car is still in the driveway and they stop by just to make sure that the guy knows what's going on. So they say to him, "You know, there's a flood coming. You need to leave. We got to get out of here." And to which the man replied, he says, "I don't need to. I have faith in God." Wonderful. All right. So they push at it a little bit more, but, you know, they want to get gone, so they leave. Well, the rains come, and this is not a joke. There's a lot of water, and the water is now starting to gather up on the streets and the roads a little bit and into the basement of his house. And so the next thing that comes by as the flood waters get even higher is a boat. And the boat has piloted by a man that says, get in the boat. We're going to safety. And the man says, I don't need safety. I have faith in God. So that goes away. The boat leaves, and he's continued to be there, stranded. And the waters keep rising until he's forced to take a position on his roof. But thankfully, a helicopter comes by, and they signal to him and drop down a rope and say, it's time. You've got to go. The floodwaters are coming, or they're here, and you're going to be taken away. And the man issued his common reply, I don't need to. I have faith in God. Well, sadly, in this joke, the man dies, and it's at the pearly gates that he's greeted by St. Peter, and the man is, needless to say, kind of ticked, and so he says, St. Pete, what's going on? I have faith in God, and St. Peter said, well, who do you think sent your friends the boat and the helicopter? Judging by the muted laugh that some of y'all might have heard that before. The fact of the matter is that faith is vital and important, but what it is and what it isn't is significant for us to know as Christians. We need to delineate between the difference between just simple hope and what faith is, and then we need to really kind of consider what is faith in its sum, and how does it work in our lives and in our hearts. And to do that, we've been looking at this statement called justification by grace through faith. Again, a watch phrase of the Reformation. This was really an important understanding to cement, not only in the Reformation, but going back thousands of years to the time of the Galatian churches. We've been looking at this through the lens of Galatians because we know that men came through and promised that the baptism was good, grace was all right, but there was still stuff you needed to do. And what you needed to do was still follow the Jewish laws. They were called Judaizers, if you will. And they come through and said, you need to do this extra thing. And so over time, what those extra things became more and more and more onerous to do. And it's really as Martin Luther looks at Scripture, that he realizes that our righteousness doesn't come from ourselves or our work, but it comes through, and here's the important things, through faith. Faith is somehow the conduit of this grace that is provided to us, and it really radically changed the way Augustine thought, or not Augustine, did I say that? I meant Luther. Really changed the way Martin Luther thought about redemption. Now, Martin Luther, some of you may or may not know, was a monk in an Augustinian order for years. He had been raised in the church, taught the church's doctrine, and was even teaching the church seminarians the Bible, specifically the Psalms. But his heart was troubled. His heart was deeply troubled. As a matter of fact, he comes to a time where he's threatened with his life and limb, and he's terrified in that moment. He's frightened of what he'll face in God's wrath. And that he looks at all that he's done and has said, essentially, this is not sufficient to warrant the blessing of salvation that I've been given. And his thought was, therefore, I must be doomed. That was his position, just as it was the position in a roundabout way of the Galatian Judaizers. Those people thoroughly believed that if you didn't do exactly the Jewish laws, that you were cursed, that you were under a curse, and that you could expect to have the consequences. It really jumbled the category of what grace was. And thankfully, Paul writes this sterling defense of justification by grace through faith. And he does so defining terms and helping us see exactly what is meant by that. Well, to begin with, and we talked about this, justification. Justification is being set right with God, but it's more than that. It's deeper than just that. It is, in fact, as we talked about the last couple of weeks, it's forgiveness first and foremost. You are forgiven of your sins, but then you're reconciled to God. God has drawn near to you again by his own measure of grace and love. And the third thing is you're saved. The fact of the matter is that we all die. Except those who believe in Jesus Christ, who have faith in him, right? That's the ticket. That's the key. But those people are saved of death. So we talked a little bit about justification. We talked about grace. And the thing that I hope I really was able to bring home to you is that, yes, absolutely, grace is the unmerited gift of God. There is no denying that. But in the scriptures we read last week, I hope we saw that grace is also a power. That grace is the power to direct and orient your life to overcome the obstacles that are in the way of what God would have you do. And so grace is a powerful thing as well. And so now we come to through faith, justified by grace through faith. So what is faith and what does it mean? Well, thankfully, the Bible gives us a little bit of a definition in Hebrews 11:1, where it's written, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Hebrews is then going to go into a really lengthy discourse about the family that you're in. Right now, we talked a little bit about family this morning in the children's sermon, but you're in a part of a family as well, and it's one that you're in through adoption. The Bible talks about this. You've been adopted by Jesus Christ. That is, his righteousness has been made yours, and you can claim it for yourself, and we rejoice in that knowledge. So this grace that we've experienced is unheard of, but it's also the power that directs us in new and wonderful ways. And faith is the marker by which we have it. In Hebrews, as it talks about Abram, we are taken back to what Reg just read us from Genesis 12. As Reg read that passage, I hope we were thinking about this man, Abram. And I hope we're somehow able to strip away from him all the ideas that he was some kind of superhero. He was a man just like you and I. He was somebody that was in a particular place in a particular time and was called by God. That's very similar. You have a particular place in a particular time, and you, we believe in the church, have been called by God. But one of the things we've got to remember is that Abram had real issues and problems in his life. He wasn't the eldest son. We know that. So he wouldn't have been necessarily the one that inherited everything. But beyond that, if anybody knows how comfortable it can be to leave, let me tell you about my chair. I had a Lazy Boy reclining chair that was velour and I loved, but it didn't meet the requirement. It didn't match in the new house. So we gave it to my brother-in-law. Let me say this. I hope he enjoys that chair because, man, do I miss it. When I get comfortable, y'all, ask my kids. I don't want to move. Now, you can imagine if you're Abraham, if you're in this time, in this place, you may not be inheriting everything, but you're not going to worry about life. You've got wealth and status and servants, the Bible tells us, and family. And then, out of the blue, a voice comes to you and says, essentially, no, Abram, your direction in life is going completely different. You need to go to another country. Now, I think of myself on that blue velour Lazy Boy chair, reclined, comfortable, right? And I think about the voice of God coming and saying, you got to go to Egypt, right? And I think, how quickly can I squelch that? But the fact of the matter is that God isn't so easily resisted, is he? God comes to Abram and says, go, and he goes. That's the second part that Reg read, is that it was immediate, that this response to God. And we look at that, and Hebrews 11 looks at that, as well as other events in Abram's life, and credits him with having faith, right? Having a deep faith in God. So what did Abram do? Well, he trusted and listened to God and did what he was asked to do. You know, one of the things that we can often get confused sometimes is just the difference between faith and hope, right? Sometimes they seem very similar, and sometimes lexically they're used as synonyms. But in the Bible, they're not entirely. And so we need to pay some attention to the differences there. Hope is a different thing than faith, and there's a great way to get it. It's through a story. I want you to imagine, if you will, you're at Niagara Falls. I've never been there. Johnny has. She says it's wonderful. I look forward to going myself. Some of you are nodding your heads, and I can tell that you've done it too. I can't imagine the distance, but I have seen pictures where they sling a rope across it and a tightrope walker walks across. Right? So I want you to imagine, if we will, with the spray of the ocean in your face and the warmth, hopefully, of the air. You're there staring, and there's a tightrope walker, and you're concerned, needless to say, and you see him go across the wire, and you think, wow, that's pretty amazing. But before you can really be amazed at even that, the next thing you know, the guy's got a wheelbarrow, and he's pushing a wheelbarrow across this tightrope, right? He makes it, no problems. The next thing he does is he comes and asks for volunteers to go into the wheelbarrow, right? Now, in that moment, if you're going to say yes, do you have a hope that he's going to make it? Or do you have a faith and know that he's going to make it? Well, I challenge you, if you're going to get into that wheelbarrow, you better have faith that you're going to make it. And even then, that's no guarantee, right, in wheelbarrow and rope. The good news is it is a guarantee in life and life everlasting. That having faith is sufficient, like to believe in Jesus Christ, to know him, to know his benefits. That's enough. That's enough for your salvation. How is it enough? Well, the Bible tells us that it is. If Romans 10 talks about this, if I believe with my lips and confess with my heart that Jesus is Lord, I will be saved. There is something in that action of faith that secures for us what God has provided. It's the channel by which we receive the good news. That's as good a way as I can think about it, because it gets rid of any instrumentality on our part and allows us simply to be the vessel and receive the blessing without anything else. God in Christ has done for us what we could not do for ourselves, and we rejoice in that, and we receive that grace through faith. Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. That's sufficient. Right? I ran across a great quote on that. You needn't worry about the amount of faith you think you need. The amount of your faith is not the key. The object of your faith is. When you come to Jesus, you're placing your faith in him. You're placing your life in his hands. You don't have to worry if your faith is strong enough to save you. You just have to worry if Jesus is strong enough to save you. And Jesus, according to the scriptures, is very, very strong. So what we have is this awareness that faith is this assurance of things hoped for, of things left unseen. There's this trust that extends into Jesus Christ as the person, and then it works outward from there. Faith is what moves us and keeps us active in doing the Lord's work and the Lord's and going according to the Lord's purposes. It's our faith that makes that possible. So we need to look and think about what faith is. And the most important thing that we can say about faith of the three is that we've got to nail what Paul says in Ephesians 2:8-9 pretty clearly. Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Now, his primary issue in Ephesians isn't the Judaizers, although they're on the horizon and he knows of their work. But here he really does establish why faith can't be a work, right? If we all of a sudden say, essentially, you're saved, you just have to have faith in God. Well, what does that make faith? It makes it a work, doesn't it? I have to do. Thing is, I'm not really equipped to do that work. Why? I'm a fallen sinner, right? Faith does not come easily to me, or it does to any of us, because we're broken by sin, right? And so if we're going to be saved by grace, there has to be a means by which it becomes known to us. And the method of that is your faith. It becomes known to you. You know Jesus Christ. You've been given a gift that not everybody gets. And again, I don't understand that, and I don't claim to. But what I do claim is the truth of my baptism, the reality of what happened then and there according to God's word. There is something important and special in that. So the first thing we're reminded of is that faith is a gift so that no one would boast. This is exactly what Paul was concerned about when it came to the Galatian Judaizers. They were essentially populating a church with super Christians. Now, a super Christian would be like a Christian that did more and was more for the team. That was what it was perceived that these following the Jewish laws did. Well, one of the things that becomes problematic over time is that people that think they're working toward their own or working on their own salvation become very cruel-hearted. They become less forgiving over time. They become less grace-filled and more convinced and convicted that what's keeping them safe and saved is what they're doing. It's the reason some people will blow in and out of church. They'll come, they'll do something for a little while, find themselves in a better spot, and they'll go out the door because they don't quite understand there's more to it than just that. So we have a gift, and faith is entirely that. But faith is also a power that we shouldn't overlook. And we hear the words of Jesus in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to them, "Because of your faith, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So faith gives you a kind of power. This is one of the reasons that totalitarian regimes, as a general rule, stamp out any form of religion, right? Right at the beginning, if you want to control people and make them think that they have to do what you tell them, you remove faith from them. Because faith is going to tell you that what's impossible for man is possible for God. Faith is going to tell you that if I have faith the size of a mustard seed, I can say to a mountain, "Move," and it'll move. That makes you very hard to control when you have that level of faith. That's why one of the reasons we think it's so vital that people have faith. Because it makes you challenge things that need to be challenged. It allows you to stand up in the face of tyranny, of all the bad stuff, and say, "No, this will not stand." But faith also is a purpose. You know, we've had an interesting summer. It's come to a conclusion as my kids have gone back to school, and that's been a blessing. Gosh, over the summer, we've done a lot of things. What did I say? I don't even know what I said.
You said it was a blessing.
Oh, yeah. It is a blessing, but not in the... It's a blessing that they're back in school. All right. Okay, but this summer, we've listened to a whole lot of Taylor Swift, and I've heard a whole lot of one statement. I'm bored. Right? I'm bored. Tells me that I need to do a better job next summer. Because there is Philippians 2 in the world. And Philippians 2 verses 10 and 11 tell us very clearly that we're given a purpose in our faith. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Grace, not only is it a gift, not only is it a power, it's a direction in your life. It is a purpose, if you will. You've got something to do. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is, what hour of the week it is, or what month it is. There is a purpose that has been written into your life, and the purpose is to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've been, here's the great good news, you've been given a unique set of gifts. They're just yours by God through grace and received in faith that you then can apply to the betterment of the world. There's a point. There's a purpose. I see so much today and it seems like we're drifting without a point and a purpose. And what I want to say is Jesus Christ has provided us one mission statement that every knee shall bow. And until that happens, I don't need another way of looking at things. I know what my purpose is and my point is and your purpose and your point is. And how did that come to us? Well, it came to us through faith. Because faith is the defining nature of is the gift that awakens you to your salvation. Faith is what speaks to you in the still small voice telling you that you're the beloved of God no matter what you just stepped in, right? That you are beloved by God. Grace and faith combine to give us a direction and an attitude and an inclination toward helping other people excel in this life in their love for Jesus Christ. And again, you know, I don't want to sound pie in the sky because I recognize there are realities and there's difficulties and there are things that are going to be hard to do. But again, as I look at the many problems in the world and in America and in this society, this community rather at present, the clear and unequivocal answer is Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the answer. Now, is it as direct an answer? No, we can't just say Jesus Christ and have everything go away. We've got to work and get our hands involved in it. But the fact of the matter is that if we all have our hearts and minds with Jesus, we will all have our hearts and minds aligned with the happiness and contentment of our neighbor. And there, in that space is no need to fear. So we rejoice and know that God is good and that we receive it through faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer. And we do so knowing and believing that God is not just hearing these words of faith, but He is responding as well. So let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just bless you and thank you for this day. We thank you for drawing us into it and awakening us and giving us the desire to come and be with you here in worship. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that this sanctuary was left unperturbed by the tree, and we just hope and pray that you'll continue to guide this church as we deal with this new calamity. Gracious God, bless all of our lives and awaken us all to the good news of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remind us on an ongoing basis that we're justified by grace through faith and all the richness of what that means. Allow us, enable us to bear fruit of your Holy Spirit in abundance, to share with this church and this world, so that every knee would know and every tongue confess Jesus is Lord. And Heavenly Father, we recognize that this is a difficult time and place, and events happen that leave us wondering, O Lord, about you. And Father God, we just pray for anybody that's experienced anything difficult, that you would continue to abide with them, showing them your power, your mercy, and your love. Awaken in them the gospel promises, Father God. So too do we pray for everyone that is sick, grieving, lonely, or anxious, thinking today especially of Sarah Yarborough, of Sarah Justice, Tom McClure, Jill Griffin. We think of Nancy and Richard Smith and Rebecca, and we think of the many others that are in need of our intercessory prayer. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed and having made our prayers of intercession and supplication, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father God, you bless us with so many things, with our family and our friends, our children, our loved ones. And Heavenly Father, you indeed bless us so richly. Now, Father God, as we return a portion of these material blessings back to you, we just ask, Father God, that you use these to bring about your purpose and will in this, your world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Next week, we're going to look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit and think and talk about how that, by faith, through grace, comes to us. And so we look forward to concluding it. But as we go out today, rejoice. You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that you are justified by his grace eternally. That is a gift, and may we all celebrate it as such. And now may the grace... Oh, there is no fellowship on the lawn today. Just remember that. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.